We read together from God's Word as we turn to the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 to 21 of this chapter. Ezekiel's with the exiles in the land of Babylon, far, far away from their homeland, from Jerusalem, which has been destroyed by the Babylonian army. And here Ezekiel is being called to be a prophet. He's receiving strange visions from God that are part of his call to be a prophet. Just to get the flow of thought, we'll begin to read the last few verses of chapter 2. The Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, and the Lord in verse 8 says to him, "Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth. Eat what I give you." Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. He then said to me, "Son of man, go now to the house of Israel, and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many peoples of obscure speech and difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you, because they're not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. And I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house." And he said to me, "Son of man, listen carefully, and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your countrymen in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen." Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a loud rumbling sound. May the glory of the Lord be praised in his dwelling place. The sound of the wings of the living creatures brushing against each other, and the sound of the wheels beside them, a loud rumbling sound. The Spirit then lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness and in the anger of my spirit, the strong hand of the Lord upon me. I came to the exiles who lived in Tel Aviv near the Kibar River. And there, where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, overwhelmed. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak, and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, 'You will surely die,' and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness and from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself." It's wartime. The gates of the city have been closed. Word has come that the enemy is not far away, approaching rapidly. Sentries have been posted on the walls, on the watchtowers. If the vanguard of the enemy appears on the horizon, what is the sentry's duty? It's very clear, isn't it? He must warn the inhabitants of the danger. He must tell them that the enemy is at hand so that either they may flee to safety or defend themselves. The sentry's own safety is secondary. It is his responsibility to warn others. That must be his concern. If it should happen that he sees the enemy approaching and he says nothing, he makes sure he's all right, that he can escape. Well, if he's ever found afterwards, he will be severely punished. He'll be called to account for dereliction of duty. He saw the danger and he failed to warn the people. The prime responsibility of the sentry on the walls, of the watchman, is to warn of danger. In spiritual terms, men and women are in great danger. That was the case for the Israelites, the people of Judah primarily, who were far from their homeland in exile in Babylon. They had been carried away in exile because of the unfaithfulness of the nation, rejecting their God. We might think those who had already suffered would have learnt the lesson, but it seems not. They were in great spiritual danger. And the Lord called prophets like Ezekiel to bring his word to those people, to fulfill the role of a watchman, to provide warning before it was too late. They still had opportunity to do something regarding their spiritual condition. And Ezekiel, the watchman, along with others, was to warn them while there was still time. I want to think of that ministry to which Ezekiel was called, particularly in Ezekiel 3 and concentrating in verses 17 to 21. Our theme, called to be a watchman. And not merely studying the history of God's people or the life of this prophet, but seeking to learn the lessons that God has for us in our particular location, at our point in history. As with all of Scripture, this was written for our instruction. And so we seek to hear the word of the Lord to us, called to be a watchman. We note first in these verses, and we're looking at them, of course, in the wider context. We always have to do that in studying the Bible. First of all, we think of the Lord's commission. The Lord's commission. That's the very heart of these verses, indeed of these opening chapters of Ezekiel. It's easy, perhaps, to be confused by the strange visions, the living creatures, the wheels, and to lose ourselves in trying to imagine what the visions were like, and to miss the main point of these chapters, which is the call of God to Ezekiel. That's crucial. He, the prophet, of course, has the series of strange visionary experience. At the very outset, God indicates to him in a general way that he has a ministry to undertake. Verse 4, Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. So Ezekiel knows fairly quickly he's to be a spokesman for God. But now as the chapter unfolds and we come particularly to the verses that we are looking at, the Lord is more specific and tells him exactly what kind of role he has. Not a spokesman just in a general sense. But verse 17, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Spiritually speaking, Ezekiel is being posted on the walls, watching for danger, commissioned to warn the people. I have made you a watchman. The exiles in Babylon, his own fellow countrymen, are being entrusted to his spiritual oversight. It is a very weighty responsibility that Ezekiel is being given. He has a duty to watch out for the danger that threatens these people. Now, already they've experienced something of God's hand heavy upon them. But unless there are changes, then things will be even worse for them. It's vital that we see that this is indeed God's commission. You see consistently in these chapters the divine initiative that it is God who calls and commissions the prophet. I have made you, verse 17. It's not a role that Ezekiel took on at his own initiative. Ezekiel most certainly didn't volunteer for the position of watchman. Indeed, the more Ezekiel discovered about what this would entail, the less and less likely he would have been to volunteer. This was not a task that anyone would want unless God gave them the responsibility. And so here, I have made you. We know, of course, that God called each of his prophets, whether it was Isaiah or Jeremiah or any of the others. None of these men took on the role of prophet voluntarily. It was not their initiative. No one woke up one morning and thought, well, what career should I follow? I think I'll be a prophet. Anyone who knew anything about the responsibilities of being a prophet and what that sometimes entailed would most certainly not have volunteered. It was the grace of God that enabled an Isaiah to say, here I am, send me. It wasn't Isaiah of himself in his own strength and wisdom making that offer. God called and commissioned him, as God calls and commissions Ezekiel. This is God's work. Well, we might say we are not prophets. And we don't believe that that office of prophet continues in the New Testament. We have God's written revelation complete. So we're not prophets in this sense. Not even pastors and teachers are prophets in this sense of being revealers of the truth directly from God. But this isn't just a historical curiosity, a piece of ancient history. Because there is a sense in which every one of the Lord's people has a calling to be a watchman for the world in which we've been placed. With regard to the society around us, the Lord commissions us in the words of Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses. And that is not restricted to some small group. It's a commission to the whole church of Jesus Christ. You will be my witnesses. It wouldn't be unwarranted, I think, to take a further step and paraphrase it as you will be my watchmen. Because our calling of God as witnesses includes a vital element of warning sinners. Warning of the danger in which they find themselves. Of course, that's especially true of those who are called to the ministry of God's word. Those who are called to be pastors and teachers. We're not minimizing that. But it is in no sense confined to them. All of the Lord's people are witnesses. All have a responsibility to act as watchmen wherever we've been placed, whatever our circumstances, our situation, our point in the history of redemption, the Lord calls and commissions all of us. And if we're to be watchmen, we need to be aware of the condition of those over whom we are watching, to understand the hearts and minds of people, so that we can discharge our responsibility to them. Verse 18 speaks of a wicked man. Verse 20 of a righteous man. The point is that there are different needs, different people. And a watchman needs to understand and have discernment as to how to bring God's word to different people, how to be a watchman appropriately to them. But more than that, foundational to everything that we are to do as witnesses, the words of verse 17. The Lord says to Ezekiel, "Hear the word I speak. Hear the word I speak." We cannot be watchmen, we cannot be witnesses adequately unless first and foremost we are those who ourselves are listening to God's word and taking it in, receiving it, responding to it. Crucial to the watchman's work is hearing the word of the Lord. And then we are able to take it to others. It's dangerously easy to short-circuit that whole process and to find yourself listening to God's word with an eye to how you would bring it to other people and forget yourself. Preachers can do that. Preachers can fall into a mindset that reads the Bible and studies it with an eye to how would I preach that to other people and miss out the vital stage of preaching to himself first of all. We must be those who hear the word that the Lord speaks. Not least because we're not commissioned to take our opinions or our ideas to people. Why should they listen to what you or I think? We are commissioned to take the word of God. He gives us the message. We are servants of God's word. And that is what we are to give to a needy world. We thought something of that this morning. We have one gospel, one message that we must take. A word from the Lord. So we must first hear the word ourselves and then communicate it faithfully to those for whom we are to be watchmen. Give them warning from me, God says. There is our authority when we speak to others. We come not with our own authority or our wisdom. We come because God has sent us. We come to give a warning from the Lord himself. And all we really are, as we speak, as we witness, as we preach, if that's our calling, all we really are channels of God's word. And if we move away from that and substitute anything else, then we are being unfaithful watchmen. We have one responsibility, to give God's word to those who need to hear. Give them warning. Warning of what? What exactly is the content of the warning that this watchman is to give? Well, you could translate verse 17, give them warning about me. Not just give them warning from me, but give them warning about me. It reminds us that sinners need to be told, they need to be warned about their plight in relation to a holy God. That is why the sinner's plight is so serious, because he stands before a holy God who holds him responsible for his sin. And so our message, above all, is about God. Yes, there may be elements of personal testimony when we speak to others. There will be other things we may speak about, meet them at their particular point of need. But our message is about God. We must never lose sight of that. Sinners need to be warned of the consequences of persisting in sin against God. If they don't repent, they'll be lost. Paul, when he was arraigned before Felix, Acts 24, verse 25, Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. It was a God-centered, God-filled witness that Paul presented to Felix. That is what Ezekiel was called to present to the exiles. That is what you and I are called to present to our world, to warn them that God is holy. They are sinners, and they are responsible for their sin. Now, we might think from that our message is nothing but doom and gloom. It's often the caricature of the Christian and the Christian message. But remember the very fact that God sends Ezekiel as a watchman. The very fact that God provides a warning before it's too late is a great testimony to the fact that God is gracious. God did not need to warn these people anymore. He could have judged them immediately. The very fact of sending Ezekiel with this message reminded them, God is gracious. There is still hope. It is not yet too late. You're being given another warning and another opportunity. God is gracious. So the very fact that God gives watchmen, the fact that God calls us to be his witnesses, is a token to his grace. Those who hear are given yet another opportunity to receive salvation and be made right with God. The Lord's commission. A commission that in our particular setting and our circumstances we've received. That we too are watchmen, we are witnesses on God's behalf to bring God's word to those who need to hear. The Lord's commission. But along with that, we need to think about the sinner's responsibility. We've touched on that, but we need to think a little more about it. Nothing that the Lord says to Ezekiel about the role of the watchman, one sent to warn sinners about their sin, nothing in that takes away from the fact that sinners themselves are responsible for their sinful actions. Indeed, the fact he sends a watchman with a message of warning underlines their responsibility. Now, why do I say that? Well, there might be those who would say, well, if I wasn't warned by the watchman about my sin, I can't be responsible for it. God can't blame me. If his watchmen didn't do a good enough job in telling me about my sin, therefore, God can't punish me. Not so. Regardless of how faithful or unfaithful the watchman proves to be, we must see that sinners are always responsible for their sin. It will not be an excuse when they stand before the Lord to say, I wasn't warned. They didn't tell me. They are responsible before God. The Lord refers here to a wicked man, first of all. One who has no evident spiritual concern at all. And whether he is given a specific warning or not, if he does not repent, the Lord says in verse 18, that wicked man will die for his sin. In no way is his guilt minimized, reduced. He's responsible. So too, in verse 19, sinners are accountable to God. They will receive due punishment for their sin, for what God here calls wickedness, evil ways. They can't blame the watchman and be let off their punishment. There can be no blame shifting. Even if the watchman failed, the sinner deserves the punishment he will receive. After all, though he may not hear the preaching of the gospel, he has the light of nature He is the voice of conscience. And so, as Paul says in Romans 1:20, every sinner is without excuse. Sinners are responsible. He will die for his sin, the wicked man. The full revelation of the New Testament shows more fully what dying for sin means. The wages of sin is death, Paul writes in Romans 6:23. Death in its fullest sense. Yes, the death of the body returning to the dust. But spiritual death, separation from God for all eternity. Eternal punishment, as it's put in Matthew 25:46. And remember, it is Jesus there who speaks of eternal punishment. So for the wicked man. The Lord speaks then in verse 20 of a righteous man. Someone who at least outwardly is an observer of God's law, who would appear to be pious, devout. But what of his heart? Is it a heart that belongs to the Lord? Well, only his response to the warnings of the watchman will show us whether that righteous man really does belong to the Lord, whether he is committed to the Lord. Or is it, as was the case in many of the Pharisees, simply an outward conformity to the rules? What kind of righteous man is he? Outwardly merely? Or is a righteousness of a new heart? Well, you'll see by how he responds to what the watchman says. If the watchman comes to one who really is a child of God and warns him of his sin, by grace he will listen. It may take him a while. He may be slow to respond, but he will respond. And there's a mark of grace in that man's heart that though he has sinned, he responds to the call of God. He repents. He shows that he has a new heart of love for the Lord. There may be others righteous to all appearances, keeping the law, doing what others would say is very religious. And yet, when they're warned of their sin, they close their ears and they show that that righteousness was simply an outward veneer. And underneath, they were lost too. And so it is that there is a response to the watchman's warning, positive or negative, that shows the reality of the heart. Some righteous men may fool others. They cannot fool the Lord. Any who persist in disobedience, whether they've lived an outwardly, openly sinful life, or they've lived a religious, outwardly righteous life, either way, to persist in sin without repentance leads to death. And yet again, still there's a note of hope. Even through the warnings, you see the grace of God, if such a person takes warning. If he responds when he hears the word of God through the watchman, he will surely live. There is hope, because God is gracious. God is gracious in sending the watchman with this commission. God is gracious in forgiving the sin even of those who've lived an openly godless life. If they turn, they repent, God says he will surely live. The sinner is in a very dangerous situation. And the word of warning comes. How will he respond? Will he close his ears and go to eternity, separated from the Lord? Or will he listen and live? The Lord's commission. The sinner's responsibility. We need to think thirdly and finally of the watchman's responsibility. The fundamental duty of the watchman, verse 17, give them warning. And we do that as we faithfully present God's word to people. It might be in a conversation, some subject comes up, we can turn the conversation to spiritual things. Or maybe in a more formal situation, as a witness, as a preacher, there are so many ways in which we can give warning. Lovingly, gently, but faithfully. We're not presenting our own ideas. Our message is not our own. As Paul's gospel was not the product of man's wisdom, it was by revelation from Jesus Christ. So our word of warning must be from God's word. And as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, it's required of those who've been given a trust that they prove faithful. We've been given a trust, a commission. We must prove faithful. As watchmen, we then have an evangelistic ministry. We come to the sinner and we warn of the consequences of disobedience, of a godless life. We warn them where a life that takes no account of the Lord is leading them now and eternally. It is an evangelistic ministry. It's also a pastoral ministry. Because also we are to warn the righteous, those who may truly be God's people, when they are going astray. And we all need words of warning from time to time. Only a life of continued godliness can demonstrate who is truly regenerate and who is still in their sins. Indeed, as we think of God's people persevering to the end, one of the contributions to that perseverance is the warnings of God's people that will help to keep us on the right path. And God graciously and lovingly provides watchmen to warn so that we will persevere to the end. And God's grace is never in vain. The watchman has that responsibility to warn. And it's a weighty responsibility. But we must be careful to balance this in a biblical way, because there are limits to the watchman's responsibility. There are Christians, you see, sincere, devout, godly people who take upon themselves a greater responsibility than God has placed there, regarding the fate of men and women around them. Some who slip into the mindset that it depends on me, and if I don't witness well enough or often enough or zealously enough, people will go to hell and it'll be my fault. And that is a huge burden to carry. And it is not a burden that God puts on the shoulders of his people. There are limits to the watchman's responsibility. Our duty is to give the warning clearly and faithfully. But whether or not people heed the warning is not our responsibility. It can't be. We can't change the heart of a sinner. We can't regenerate someone who's dead in transgressions and sins. We cannot ultimately stir the conscience even of a fellow Christian. Only God can do that. And so as watchmen, as witnesses, we must discharge our responsibility faithfully and warn people and speak to them. But we must leave it in the Lord's hands whether or not they listen. We mustn't carry a heavier burden than the Lord places upon us, because it is a burden that can crush people unnecessarily. But the responsibility to warn surely is heavy enough, isn't it? It is a great responsibility. Verse 18, I will hold you accountable for his blood. Failure to warn is a serious sin. It's not a trivial matter. And so when we fail, as we will fail, we need to deal with it in the same way we deal with any of our sins. Repent, Confess to the Lord. Receive forgiveness. Seek grace to be more faithful in future. By God's grace, we can continue to be watchmen even when we may have failed. And every one of us, I am sure, can think of situations where you know you should have said something. You know you should have spoken. And you didn't. And perhaps now the opportunity is gone forever. And you'll never get it back. And we can all think of situations like that. And our response to that is not simply to grieve over what we failed to do. It's to receive God's grace and forgiveness and go on to serve Him faithfully in the future. If we are faithful, then as the Lord says to Ezekiel, you will have saved yourself. That doesn't mean that we somehow earn salvation by being good witnesses. Certainly not. That would be thoroughly unbiblical. But we'll have saved ourselves from chastening, from loss of blessing, from loss of effectiveness as witnesses. Because all of those things come when we fail. Responsibility has been placed upon us to warn. And we can't escape that responsibility. Paul knew it as a preacher, 1 Corinthians 9:16. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe to us as watchmen, as witnesses, if we don't warn faithfully where we've opportunity and speak. We dare not be silent. What God calls us to do, He enables us to do. Surely, as we think of this responsibility, our reaction is, I'm not able, I'm not fit, I can't do it. And indeed, you can't. None of us can. But God, working in us by His Spirit, can enable us to do it. To be able to speak where we'd rather be silent. To have courage where we're afraid. To leave aside concerns of what people will think about us. And to be faithful to the Lord. Isn't the issue often, are we more afraid of the Lord? Or of the person we're addressing? Too often the answer is, we're more afraid of the person standing or sitting there with us and what they think than what our God thinks of us. We are witnesses, we are watchmen. We each have different opportunities. And the Lord has sent us with His commission. We dare not be silent. The Lord enabled Ezekiel in the face of tremendous opposition to be a faithful watchman. May the Lord enable us where He has placed us to be faithful watchmen. That there will be those who will hear and will live eternally as a result of the word that we spoke to them in the Lord's name. A great responsibility, but a great privilege. And by God's grace, we can be found faithful.